Welcome one and all once again to Dual Wielding episode 49. As we mentioned last week, it's been the start of the fall gaming season, and it's been quite hectic. Before we get there, let's introduce our panel of gamers this week. Joining us all the way from Daniel's UK.
Britainland.
Britainland. We have Daniel.
Hello.
And joining us from the other side of the country, I don't know what they call it over there. California. True or not.
Coast. The other side of the world from where Daniel is. About that.
We have Jason.
Hello.
So, yeah, it's been a quite hectic, like I said, it's been a quite hectic week, especially for me personally, since two of my systems are currently out of commission. It's really frustrating this time of year to have that happen. But, I wanted to kick it off, and the reason we scheduled this around Jason and Adrian should be joining us early is I wanted to discuss Battlefield 3, which is the biggest release of this past week.
What? Dance Central 2? No? No?
I
Kinect Sports 2? No?
Can we change biggest release to biggest flop? Or is that a bit too subjective?
I have
not seen anything flop as bad as Battlefield 3. I'm sorry.
It depends on your definition of flop.
Yeah.
When it went to EA, they shipped 10 million copies in its first week.
Yeah,
now,
but
when
I could...
sell those 10 million copies,
hang on.
To
that's what I'm saying.
Subject.
It's like... shipped. First thing, I don't understand this obsession with shipping numbers. I could write an autobiography, ship 10,000 million copies, and not sell a single one.
Yeah, but at the same... Okay, I agree with you. It's ridiculous that we get on the ship numbers instead of the sold numbers, but, like, the sold numbers have to be through the roof, too, because that's why the servers are crashing.
I was gonna question that because it seems, and I mean, part of the thing is that when they did the beta, they didn't do any, like, you know, mode testing, they didn't do any new things. They said the whole point of the beta was to stress test the servers, and then the first thing that happens when the game comes out is the servers go down.
And right, not only that,
ridiculous.
Not only that, right?
Whoa.
Is that, oh, hello.
Adrian's joined us. Catch up. We're talking about Battlefield servers. Okay, go, Daniel.
Not only is it the fact that the beta was to stress test the servers, but with Battlefield 1943, we had server issues. With Battlefield Bad Company 2, we had server issues. With Medal of Honor, we had server issues.
Well, maybe EA doesn't know how to plan their servers yet.
But if
they've had so many years to do so, I think that it's kind of ridiculous that this... You know, I really hate to say it, but Call of Duty doesn't have these problems. And I know it's terrible, but they don't.
Well, Call of Duty also doesn't use servers for its
multiplayer.
But that's what I'm saying.
Like, you would think that having that opportunity... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you're both going to stop talking while you're arguing?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go for it.
Oh, like, in regards to the PC servers... And as far as I know, they didn't have the same kind of widespread problems. I mean, let me just put it this way. For the beta, when I talked to somebody about it who had not heard anything, I hadn't even said a single word about it yet. I said, hey, I was playing the Battlefield 3 beta, and he goes, oh, I heard that was bad. He didn't have any prior knowledge but that it was bad. I think that's kind of an indicator that EA has repeatedly dropped the ball on these kinds of things. And for something that is widely going to be considered a demo, and then to have those same problems carry over to launch despite them saying that they were going to be fixed, kind of sad.
The thing is, I had no problems jumping into servers with the beta. That's the only thing I didn't have a problem with the beta, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, is jumping into servers. I mean, I don't like Battlelog, but I could hit give me a game, and it would give me a game, and I could join it. And so how they can have, like, they can boast how they have, like, what was it, like, 5 or something million people playing at one time, and yet they can't do it when the game actually comes out, well, they can't have those numbers, surely.
Hey, guys, remember when they said that the beta was designed to test server loads? That's pretty funny.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to point out, and this kind of goes against Jason's point, but The fact is, when it launched, it had, you know, you said that it, sales are representative of the fact that the service crashed, but you also have to realize it's a staggered launch where it came out in the States on Tuesday and it wasn't in Europe and the rest of the world until Friday. So, like, everything was just people on the States, and I am assuming it's having the same issues today when you have Europeans coming onto it now. And just for the record, we're recording this on Friday for once instead of the
usual
Sunday.
I mean, had this been the only problem, but it wasn't. I've been on the gaming subreddit, right? And you will not believe how many people have been complaining about different things. We've had people that got charged $150 from Origin for no reason in multiple payments.
Oh, that's really? That's funny. My friend had that exact same thing happen to him.
We've had people that have been given online passcodes that are either printed like slanted so you can't read them or they do not work. We've had people that have been given their 360 copies have had two single-player discs or two multiplayer discs. What happened?
Yeah.
How can you fuck up this bad?
Yeah, this is a... Like, all this stuff is, like, completely unacceptable for a game that's this high profile.
I told you... I just can't believe that they had so... When they released the beta in its state that it was... I smelled smoke. You know, I could honestly say something's not right. You know, something is definitely not right. And then when the game came out and Battlelog didn't work in Chrome for me, couldn't find a game, all the problems from the beta were still retained, you know, outside of a few, you know, select ones. And I was just, that's when I saw fire that second. I was like, you know what? All of my suspicions have been confirmed and I'm really just pissed off that being an early adopter and just saying, hey, you know, EA, DICE, your game looks really great. I'm going to buy it the second it's available, and I really want to play it the second it's available. And to get a big slap in the face as a result, kind of just like, it's a little bit shocking that they honestly don't seem to give a fuck about how the people that wanted to play the game the most are having just terrible, terrible problems with the game right now.
And this is going to bite them in the ass because, you know, as you mentioned, its main competition that EA's been driving home for the past couple of months is Call of Duty, Call of Duty, Call of Duty. And that comes out in 2 weeks. And the fact is, the beta, not great word of mouth coming out of that. Launch week, not out of great word of mouth coming out of that either. So you're not going to really kind of have those eggs that, you know, would carry this game. And it shipped 10 million. I'm kind of curious to see the next time we get any major sales update from them. Because if you don't get anything in the next 6 months a year, you know that 10 million is kind of sitting on store shelves.
You know what? Like, that's a really good point. And I think that the launch was the most critical, you know, component of the entire game. And it's utterly disappointing to see just how terribly DICE and EA dropped the ball on this. I really don't think they could have done it any worse. I don't think it would be possible. I really don't think so.
But
Call of Duty is going to not only be a better game at this point because it actually functions, but it's going to sell so much more as a result of people saying things like, hey, Battlefield doesn't even fucking work. It blows my mind. It truly blows my mind. I'm pissed. I'm pissed about this. I'm legitimately pissed. I'm so frustrated that for the past 3 days, I've been on the forums, you know, for a couple hours a day trying to fix. I've tried everything. Reinstalling Punkbuster, reinstalling the game, making sure that my netcode or my firewall is off, reinstalling my drivers. I should not have to do these things, and I know that people are going, well, it's a hardcore PC gamer, it's part of the whole thing, you know. Fuck
this
that.
This is not how bad PC gaming is. I'm sorry, but PC gaming just isn't like this a lot of the time.
And Adrian, yeah, I'll give you some consolation. It's been just as bad on the console side too.
Really? So.
I mean, obviously we don't have, like, drivers to reinstall and stuff, but, I mean, it hasn't worked for 75% of the time the server's been down since it
absolutely
launched.
Absolutely terrible. How do you not I mean, okay, remember when I don't know if anybody else had this, but remember when Battlefield 1943 came out and everybody was like, oh, I can't wait to play, you know, Battlefield on, like, XBLA, great idea. And they were like, oh, yeah, we had an unprecedented amount of downloads.
Yeah.
No, you knew how many people were going to buy this game. You're EA. You have enough money to put more fucking servers up than
you expect. I was one of those people. I bought Battlefield 1943, as soon as it went up on the Xbox Live,
right?
I could not give EA my money fast enough, and I couldn't play for about 4 days, and I was so pissed off.
Right? I mean, and you know what? In the grand scheme of things, you know, maybe a week and a half from now, everything will be fixed out. Great, we'll all be like, oh man, remember that launch? But you know what? The long-term effect of this is that, one, Call of Duty is going to still be on top, and I hate to say
it. I mean, it was going
to
anyway, but...
Well, but now the
this is just adding fuel to the fire.
Exactly, and now Battlefield's name, like, the whole idea of Battlefield 3 was that it was supposed to be that PC-centric title that everybody was like, oh, shit, you know, it's going to exemplify what it means to be a PC gamer. And what is it? It's exemplifying what it means to be a PC gamer in the worst possible way. You know what I mean? It's terrible. I don't understand how this kind of thing, how DICE, of all people, who had their, you know, roots on PC, and to be fair, they've had a lot of experience that has, you know, definitely reflected the fact that they don't know what they're doing sometimes. If you look at every Battlefield game in the past, I don't think any one of them had a solid, smooth launch, but they should learn from those mistakes. They have the funding, they have the experience, there's no excuse at this point. At this, with Battlefield 3, there is no excuse at all.
Agreed.
Now that we've done beat up, you know, it's the main mob, have you two dipped into the single player aspect?
Well, you know what? I can't because the whole fucking game is broken. Okay.
Oh, you can't. I thought you could launch into like the multiplayer.
No, okay. My problem with the game right now is, I don't know if you guys saw the video, but basically what happens is I can play it okay for about 10 to 15 minutes. And then I'm guessing it's a memory leak somewhere in the game, you know, poor optimization of the drivers or whatever, because it's not my car. This is the only game that it does this for. And it's not like it's overheating, because I can play Crysis 2 with DX11 just fine. And what happens is about 10, 15 minutes into the game, it's running great. It's like 60 frames, ultra everything, looks awesome. And then all of a sudden, just this game-ruining stutter. It's unbelievable. Like, it freeze frames for about 5 seconds at a time, then starts again, and then everything's, like, lagging. And unbelievably bad, like truly unbelievably bad. And I was like, oh, maybe it's a network problem, you know, so I checked my firewall, blah, blah, blah. Went to single player, same exact thing happened. Same exact thing. The game is basically $60 of 11 gigabytes on my hard drive right now that doesn't do anything. It's absolutely 100% unplayable in any regard. But I will say that the only reason I've been trying so hard to get it to work is because it's been extremely fun when I did play it and when it did work. So, okay. I don't know. But you guys don't get me started. Don't get me started.
What about you, Jason? Have you tipped into the single game?
Yeah, I've gone into it a little bit. I don't know. It's been a little mixed. The first level is just that whole level that they released the first video that they released, the Fault Line trailer. That's the first level. So that was kind of weird because I knew everything that was gonna happen. So it kind of took some of the impact out of it, but I don't know if they've done some weird things so far. My only real issue is that there's a lot of these sequences.
QTEs?
Sort of.
It's
clear that DICE is trying to do like a, you know, they want you to be like the soldier that's in the middle of the battle and there's this crazy stuff going on. It's really like visceral and like, there's QTEs, but not really. You know, you press a button once every like 60 seconds, and you have.
Oh, come on.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's just.
It's like the interactive cinematic.
It's worse than a QTE.
Have you seen how bad they get though? Because there's one bit where I've seen this like multiple times, and you're like crawling through a pipe, and there's like people walking next to you. You've got to be quiet. And then this rat jumps out, and the rat bites your finger, right? And it tells you to click. And if you click, if you fail it, right, You roll on your back, you give the rat the middle finger, and then you die.
No, okay, that specific one.
Wait, are you kidding me? You're kidding me, right?
No, I'm not kidding you. It's on YouTube. You can go watch it.
It's worse than that, okay? Because first of all, on the 360, the right bumper is the knife button, right? The whole game. So in that part, you only have the knife. The fucking rat jumps out, and I'm like, okay, it's going to be a QTE. I'm mashing the right bumper. And then for some reason the QTE button prompt is the right trigger, so I get it wrong, and then that happens, and then, so the rat kills me, apparently, and not only that, I have to go back like 5 minutes to the beginning of this level, and mind you, that 5 minutes is just crawling. No real gameplay, you're just pushing forward on the joystick, and it's just, it's, There's no reason for that.
That's worse than Homefront.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the sequences where they're just, like, all up in your face, but I feel like, you know, they need to go one way or the other. Like, just don't do a QT or, like, do, like, a real QT. Like, go look at what Heavy Rain did and do that and, you know, have better consequences than just, oh, you died and you have to go back.
You died because a rat bit you.
Yeah, it's... Come on.
The set pieces, how do they play out? Because I've heard two very different opinions. Like, there's been the reviewers and the guys that are hardcore critics, and they're like, oh, the single player borders on god-awful or terrible. And then there's people that I've heard that, you know, are used to more of the Call of Duty single player, and they're like, oh, it's actually pretty enjoyable. You know, there's a few things I don't like, but as a whole, it's actually pretty cool, and it really simulates a few things that I think Call of Duty misses out on. So what's your opinion on that?
So I'm like three missions into the game, and I'll say, you know, there, I haven't seen too many of the set pieces because the three missions have been completely different from one another, which is pretty cool. And, you know, at least so far, I don't really get the dogging on the single player, but I guess we'll see how it plays out. You know, there's some really cool moments and I like the variety you have. The set pieces are, I mean, the only real one was the one from that video where the earthquake hits and everything goes
so
crazy.
Far anyway.
Yeah. And then, okay. So I can't really say yet, but I feel like so far it's better than I expected from the bad reviews.
Okay. Yeah. Cause the bad reviews make it seem like the second you boot it up, you're just like, oh my God, fuck. Why am I playing this game? That's kind of what I'm getting. And I don't think it looks that bad. You know, so far
the actual, you know, gameplay of the single player, besides those parts that are kind of dull where you're just crawling, has been pretty good. The only real problem I have so far is more related to like the story. They're doing like this, you know, thing that people have done a million times where you're being interrogated and the missions are being told through flashbacks. Like 50 million other games, including Black Ops last year. So that was pretty disappointing. And, and they're beating you over the head with political stuff. Like, there's this one guy in your crew in the first mission who's like, why are we in here? Blah, 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 blah. Like, why are we in Iran if we're supposed to be in a war in Iraq? And like, all this stuff. And it's just like, okay, we get it. You don't have to like, if you want to go for like the political angle, you don't have, you know, beating someone over the head
with
it.
Make it subtle, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's not, you're just making me go like, okay, you're trying to be, you know, whatever. But,
yeah, we're simulating war and glorifying it, but simultaneously we're making it kind of a point just to see how much it isn't that great. Yeah,
it's definitely
very contradictory.
They tripped over themselves a few times with that, but I mean, we'll see. I'm very early. There's one mission. Well, so far one mission where you're in a jet, but you don't actually fly the jet. It's more like of an on-rail section because you're
really.
Yeah.
I would have thought that what they would have done is they would have given you a tank and they would have given you a Humvee and they would have given you a jet so you can sort of practice in that section for the multiplayer, which makes sense.
It's not really... okay, you start on an aircraft carrier.
Nope.
And you just get in a jet. And I'm like, okay, cool, like, you know, I flew the jets in the multiplayer and I was like, all right, there's a jet mission. Well, no, because it's a two-pilot jet. And the actual pilot is, you know, the AI. Yeah. Oh, really? You're just
so it's
like,
an on-rails turret section.
Yeah, and you gotta, you know, you're blasting flares for a little bit, and then, you know, lock-on missiles for a little bit, and then there is a cool part where it's kind of like the AC-130 section that everyone's trying to copy now from Modern Warfare 2. That's a little bit different, and it's interesting. And this whole mission is interesting, but I kept waiting for the moment when they would give me control of the jet, and it never happened. And that was kind of disappointing.
I feel like, you know, I'd be willing to forgive that if the sequence was, like, intense, you know, and I could see why they would. Because what I feel like DICE does with their single-player experiences is they make it so that it's very cinematic, but as a result, to, like, maintain that pacing and that tension, they make it so you absolutely have to go this exact way. So it's, you know, in addition to being linear, it's ultra-linear.
Yeah, and there's definitely some moments in that mission where it adds to, like, the impact of the drama and, like, how you're in this war zone. And, you know, they need to have these, like, scripted parts. But at the same time, you know, before you actually even get in the jet, there's so much buildup, and you're just like, oh my god, I'm getting in a jet right now. This is going to be so cool.
It gives
and
you the
never get
that
the full
the
payoff.
Jet,
like,
you don't get to fly the jet.
Yeah, it would have been easy for them to just have, like, your co-pilot die, and all of a sudden you have to drive, the, you have to fly the jet for the last, like, 5 minutes or whatever. You know, like,
see that, okay,
not,
yeah, that's a great
I wish
idea.
There was, like, I wish there was some part, at, like, it doesn't have to be the whole mission, but let me control the jet for a little bit.
Like, for instance, like, you get strafed in, like, the front half of the, yeah. Like, it gets peppered.
Yeah, and they,
like, oh,
you know,
shit.
Just do so much build-up in the beginning to, on the, like, based on the fact that you're on, you're getting in this jet, you have a whole mission in this jet, and you just never, it never really pays off. It's like a big blue balls moment.
Dude, that's so shitty. Oh my god.
Okay, I wanted to segue into any of single-player campaigns because I've been playing Uncharted 3.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
And I have the Uncharted franchise. And I'm sure you folks have seen the reaction to the Eurogamer review.
Oh my god.
How dare that- they?
That was the one who gave it an 8/10. And I honestly, it's always been a complaint about the Uncharted franchise. I love what they do with it. It really does, it's a driving narrative, you know, you kind of, it's like an on-rails game where you have some control over the character. And it works in that sense because it gives you these big set pieces and no two moments where they're like, but at the same time, it holds your hand so much that it's very hard not to beat the game, I guess. Like, you know, I'm already up to like chapter 20 out of like 22 in like a night. And that's because you don't, you know, there's no two ways to do anything in Uncharted. It's you do this or you die.
See, I think that approach, I think there's two schools of thought regarding the whole cinematic linear gameplay. You either accept the fact that you're going to be guided along this ride and you're just kind of along for it and you're just, it's kind of like watching a movie. You're experiencing it even though you know that there's not a whole lot of option available for you. And then there's the idea that you should be, you know, like kind of like Gears of War 3 did it where it's linear, but more instead of just like guiding you here, it's more like a Crysis 2 in the sense that linear, open little world that you can fight in. You know, you can have multiple approaches to this certain firefight and then linear, open firefight, things like that. And it really depends. Like, I guess for me, it's like what mood you're in. So I guess it's kind of, I don't know if it's necessarily bad to say that that's something that, or I don't think it's right to necessarily say that that's bad, you know?
Oh, I'm not saying it's bad. Okay. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of the Uncharted franchise. I wouldn't have more. I went to it. I went to a event in a movie theater to get this game a week early. So obviously, I'm a huge fan of this. I bought a Subway sandwich to get into the multiplayer game.
I mean, I don't know who wouldn't, honestly.
So yeah, like I said, I'm a huge fan. I'm not complaining about it, but I am saying that it does kind of hold your hand. And that's, you know, if you're a fan of Uncharted, you're used to that by now.
Right.
My big beef with the game right now, and I know a lot of people are going to give me grief for this, is I don't like the melee combat. Like, the melee pretty much has turned into a bunch of quick time events, where it's like, you know, it's box to attack, and then occasionally the person will try to hit you. You press, triangle, you dodge that, and sometimes they'll grab you and you'll tap circle real fast, and, you know, that's to break free. And coming right off of Batman Arkham City, which kind of uses a similar battle, you know, setup with, you know, like you mash the box button and triangles.
No, you don't.
Versus.
It's all about timing in Batman. That's the difference.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to get to. It's like no. Uncharted. It's not as Batman's kind of, you know, it can be button mashy if you wanted to. You won't get far certain times, but it does have a sense of skill. Not only that, but it also is I think it's really well done where it's kind of a bit, you know, Uncharted's going for the same cinematic flair, but I think Batman does it better where it kind, you know, like one, it's a variety. It's not just him doing the same moves. With this, it's like you press it, he punches left, he punches right, he punches. Like there's a bigger character after a while, like he'll, you know, he'll punch them, he'll dodge a kick, he'll kick them in the nuts.
Right.
He'll knock them to the ground, he'll punch them three times and he'll come down with a hammer. And this happens every time you fight these guys.
So it's just like over. Okay. I see.
But with Uncharted, I would say that the main experience, the main chunk of that, isn't exactly melee. Like it's an option available to you.
No, that's what I was gonna get to.
Yeah.
Like it could be an option available to you. Okay. Now there are times where they put you in a giant room and it's like fight these guys. And it's happened. I've had it four or five times so far. So it's not an option here. They really wanted to showcase it. And if it was just like, oh, you know, you can run up to this guy and punch him or whatever. I'm fine with that, but it's like, put them in the room, you have no weapons, go at it. And that's when it showcases, it's like, I don't really find it's that fun. So yeah, I mean, that's really my big pet peeve with the game right now, and I think it starts off really slow. I understand why, because it's a tutorial, but you know, if you've played the first two, you kind of know the basics of Uncharted.
Right, and you'd probably by that point, like, I guess it's kind of similar to like Gears in that respect. You're kind of, you know what you're getting, and if you didn't like the previous games, this isn't going to change your mind kind of thing, right?
Well, at least yeah. Gears has like, Gears 3 has the mechanism where it picks up if you've played Gears 1 and or 2, and it says, right, well, then you can just play the multiplayer and with the standard people, and you don't get a tutorial because you know how to play it.
Right.
Well, I mean, I think they did that as far as Gears 1, where you could skip the tutorial.
Yeah, well, Gears 1 you could skip to and Gears 2 you could skip it as well, but in Gears 3, it just says, right, you already know how to play, I'm not even going to give you that option.
Yeah, I think that Gears of War is just, if we talk about it, I'm just going to gush about it, because it does everything so right, like, honestly. But
I don't want to talk about Gears of War.
I know. But
it's going to draw that unnecessary power.
Okay, well, okay. Going back to Uncharted, I want to, because I love the first two games, and my biggest issue with that franchise is the shooting mechanics, because
really?
It's just, yeah because it's the weakest part of both the first two games, and they improved a lot from 1 to 2, but it's still, no, 2 no. was still, I hated the shooting parts, and I want to know,
The shooting mechanics are very light.
Yeah.
The shooting mechanics are light, and it's a lot of enemies are bullet sponges.
Yeah, that's I hate
that.
Too.
Are you kidding?
No, they have not fixed that.
Oh, for God's sake.
You'll go empty like an entire clip of a pistol into somebody
the
and they'll just get up.
The worst parts of Uncharted 2 were the later, where you had those fucking monsters, and you could not kill them.
On the bright side, so far there has been no supernatural elements introduced into this game.
Well,
so.
that took till the end of both of the last two games, so
yeah.
Tell us later.
I'll tell you next week if that happens. But yeah, I mean, I think if you're a fan of Uncharted, you'll be a fan of Uncharted 3. They haven't really reinvented the wheel, so to speak. They haven't done anything drastically new with the franchise.
Well, they didn't need to.
They didn't need to. No, they didn't need to. It's,
yeah,
you know,
so
you know what
good.
You're getting into at this point. So, not, you know, if you have problems with the shooting, if you have problems with the melee, that's still there. If you don't like having your hand hold it, if you don't like that this is the only path you can take, even though there's like 50 other things that you can climb onto, but apparently he can't. Which always drives me nuts.
Speaking of single player set pieces, I've heard that the ones in Uncharted are absolutely incredible.
The ones in the second half of the game.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's okay, there's decent set pieces, but once you start hitting the second one, you get some amazing set pieces. I will point out this, and this is something I don't want to spoil too much because, you know, nobody else has played the game yet. I do not like Chapter 18. Whoever decided to put Chapter 18 in there should be barred from making video games. I don't know who decided to think that would be fun or interesting. That could have just been a long cutscene.
Is there a way you can talk about it without
spoiling it? Yeah, I was going to ask.
I'm curious.
Okay, do you remember the first image of Uncharted 3 with Drake in the desert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just imagine if you had to do that whole thing on foot with nothing else going on but you walking through a desert.
So that's what it is,
really?
Yes, it's pretty much you walking through a desert for like 10 minutes.
Okay.
That sounds a little bit irritating.
Yeah.
Really see, the nice. Thing is I would have actually liked, if that is actually true, I would have actually liked some, like, I don't know, some weird scorpion creatures come out and attack me, because at least it's something to do.
Yeah, it's just walking. I was expecting, you know,
just walking.
You know, it's Uncharted, because he has the worst and best stuff. So I expected somebody to come out and start shooting at him or something, or somebody to be driving by and he gets a ride or something. No, it's just walking.
It could have been a time-lapse cup scene.
Yeah, well, it's an interactive time-lapse cutscene. They cut it up every so often, and
right,
skip
okay.
ahead. And he, you know,
well,
like,
so you walk for a bit, and it says 48 hours later. And
no,
you
walk for a bit, and then they'll fade to white, and then he'll come back, and he's like exhausted. You'll walk or crawl for a bit, it fades, and then you'll walk some more. And you'll do this and do this for a while. Oh. I'm just like, at some point, I'm just like, when is this going to end? And I know how it ends, and this is another thing. And, you know, it's my fault, personally, I guess. But this is another thing. Because of that AMC event I went to, I knew what came after it. because for some reason they decided to show off Chapter 19
at
this event.
That's weird.
That's a bit stupid.
And not only did they show it off, but they show, you know, like how Uncharted has like a little 19 and then it has a subtitle. So it says 19, and so I'm like, okay, I know I have to get here by Chapter 19. So I'm just like, okay, he won't be here for too long. And then, you know, this happens. So I'm just like,
You know, it's kind of funny that you say that, though, because I would have, if the game is as good as you say, I would have kind of used that as a way of being like, okay, it's not over yet. I still have, like, until I haven't experienced that part yet. You know what I mean?
But, yeah, that's true. But at the same hand, it's also, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because a lot of the stuff they showed is from the second half of the game. And I'm just like, why would you spoil so much of the, you know, like, not the end game stuff, but, like, you know, you have, like, the first 5 hours you could ruin, but no, you're showing stuff from, like, the second 5 hours.
Yeah, that's where I like the, Hideo Kojima school of thought, where you only show the very beginning, and
yeah.
All of a sudden there's all this other stuff that you had no idea about, and it's awesome.
Well, I think that if a game gives away too much in the beginning, like, I mean, I've heard that Arkham City has, like, an amazing opening, which is why I'm refusing to watch it.
Debatable.
I really dug the opening. What's your problem with it?
Don't ruin it for me. Please don't ruin it for me because it's, somebody who died appears for me. I don't want to say
it's not that it's bad. I just wouldn't say it's anything that special.
I think it's one of my favorite openings to a video game.
I've heard multiple people saying that it's pretty amazing.
Yes. And that's all we're gonna say about that when Adrian gets a chance
to play. I'll be able to play it next week, so then we can talk about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, Daniel, have you been playing anything?
I bought this game in an indie bundle called Nimbus, and it's awesome. You fly this like little rocket that doesn't have its own propulsion, so you've got to bounce off of walls and stuff. It's really cool. It's crap if you play it with the keyboard and mouse, but if you play it with a 360 controller, it's quite nice. And you can get it from if you get over to indieroyale.com, I think it is. It's cheap, and if you pay the minimum, it bumps it up a little bit for the next person, but, you know, you get it cheap. And it's a cool little game. You get three other games with it. One of them's an FPS tower defense thing called Sanctum, and that's a really good game. I can't remember the other two, though. But, yeah, this little game called Nimbus. I sat there, and I was like, oh, I could play this game all day. And rarely do I say that about a video game, actually. So, yeah.
What were we talking about again? I'm sorry. We're on Uncharted.
It's a little puzzle game called Nimbus where you fly a little rocket around.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, it is that. I mean, it's been a really long segment for what you've been playing, but like I said, it's the fall gaming season. There's a lot of big stuff coming out. But you know what? Rockstar decided to take a dump on people this week. Especially Battlefield, I have to say.
Rockstar? And,
Yeah.
The funny thing is all Rockstar have to do nowadays is just put the logo on their website and that's it.
You know what though? At first I thought that was stupid, and then I thought about it, and you know, think about any of the biggest properties, that's all you really need to do. Like even in movies and anything. Like,
yeah, that's why you have teaser trailers.
Yeah, you know, it's like the first thing, because you're gonna get people to talk about it with just the logo. You don't need to show anything else. You can save everything else for later. And that's kind of cool.
And that's what you got with Grand Theft Auto V announcement this past week, where it was a trending topic twice on Twitter.
Yeah, and people were trying to, what does it mean that the little 5 thing is written out and looks like money?
It was an introductory guide to Roman numerals. That's all it was.
Yeah, I saw that one too. I cracked it.
Which is kind of odd.
We're going to start teaching you about Roman numerals on the
Super. They have the Super Bowl, which is the big thing with Roman numerals in this country. But, the ironic thing about the Grand Theft Auto 5 trending is half of them was like, I didn't like Grand Theft Auto 4, so I'm not going to get this game. So there was that too. They announced it. Then they announced that there's a trailer teaser. They haven't announced exactly what it is coming out this Tuesday.
I think they announced the trailer? Oh, okay.
I think they just said it's going to be like a teaser or something, and I assume that's what it is. I mean, it could be a trailer, because I forget what website this was. It said the average time from reveal of the first trailer to the release of Rockstar's game, 7 months. And I did the math. If the reveal's in November, 7 months would be May, and May seems to be their month.
Remember, they also have Max Payne 3.
Let me just check your math on that one. Hold on a sec. So, 11.
So.
I'm just kidding.
They do have Max Payne 3, but that could be a Q1 game.
That could. That's true.
But then again, I said it at Comic-Con, and that was still rather early, so.
Yeah, I assumed that was going to be their main game, but
oh,
that was
I,
about GTA, so.
Earl, how was NYCC?
It was fun. I got to, you know, check out a lot of games. I talked about most of them last week, and some of them are already out. I'm still kind of iffy on Mario, which kind of scares me.
Mm.
Zelda seems to be an early contender for Game of the Year based on what I've played. Rayman Origins was fun, but it's really odd. I assume it's a setup, but you couldn't play single player, and I couldn't get four people, so there's like three of us and like this extra controller that didn't do anything. And stuff like that. I got to check out Grand Theft Auto 3 on the iPad. Not a fan. Sonic Generation, huge fan.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited for Sonic, actually.
Yeah, apparently it is the most pre-ordered Sonic game in history, according to Sega.
That's the one with the blue, like the old Sonic, right? Classic Sonic.
Classic Sonic and modern.
You know what, though? I played the new demo this week with both parts, and I don't really... Like, the whole idea, Sonic, I thought, was that, you know, you play as new Sonic in 3D sections, and you play as old Sonic in 2D. But the new Sonic sections have 2D parts also, so I don't really get that.
That's like classic Sonic too. I mean, that's like modern Sonic. There are 2D segments in the 3D games.
What? I guess. I mean, you know what? I'm not... Whatever. This seems like it's basically Sonic Unleashed without the werewolves, which is all I want it to be, so that would be awesome.
Yeah, it seems to be Sonic Unleashed or Sonic. It's using the Sonic Unleashed Sonic Colors engine, which is a fantastic 3D engine for Sonic so far. And I'm happy it's not using the Sonic Hedgehog 4 engine for 2D Sonic, because I hate that engine.
Yeah, I hate how like zoomed in it is and stuff.
Well, it's not even so much to zoom in. It's the fact that, you have to build up momentum, and if you stop, you slow down, and he feels like he's stuck in mud. I hate that, and I hate the fact that it has like the homing device, which wasn't a thing in 2D Sonic games, which they're wise enough to do here, where they have traditional Sonic moves like the spin dash for classic Sonic, and they don't have like the homing attack, and then like 3D Sonic has homing attack, and then he has like the boost meter, or apparently since I misquoted it in my I misspelled it in my hands-on, it's a boost meter, so yeah, it is that. What else has happened this past week? Oh yes, Nintendo released their Q2 financial statement, and they lost, I think, somewhere close to $1 billion this past 6 months.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Wait, I wanna talk about this for a little bit actually. So, a little bit of background, this would be the first annual loss in Nintendo's company history, right?
Are you serious?
So
what, a first one in 30?
Well, yeah, for a long time. So, at first, seems like doom and gloom, right? Well, let's consider, first, they launched a new product this year. They have a new one coming out next year. And let's be honest, we all know there's going to be a 3DS redesign. And they had that stupid circle pad thing. So that's a lot of R&D costs. And if anything, as a Nintendo fan, I would be excited that we haven't seen the Wii U since E3. Maybe they're listening to some critics and changing things up a little bit. Just saying, it's a possibility. All that money's going somewhere.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We won't be seeing the Wii U until E3 again.
Yeah, well, okay. Basically, Nintendo doesn't spend money unless it's for a reason. And to look at that loss, I don't see that as a loss. They're using that. That's an investment, and that's definitely going somewhere. And I'm excited to see where that is. And throw in the fact that they're a really strong holiday company, and we haven't gone through the holiday season yet. They have a strong 3DS lineup coming up. They have Skyward Sword. And if they were smart, they would do another Wii price drop, but we'll see about that.
Man, I just wish I didn't have to buy a Wii to play a Zelda game.
Well, you could buy a Wii U.
That's
what I'm going to do.
I was going to say, I figured I would be the one who have to come up with excuses for Nintendo this week, but...
No, I mean, like I said, it makes me kind of excited, because it tells me that they're, you know, trying to do something.
Well, I mean, a lot of people just, you know, they do, and it's kind of weird because it's one of those things where history is kind of always seen as what's happening and not what happened in the video game. Because for the most part, every company kind of goes through this patch where they lose money during the transition to consoles.
Exactly.
Nintendo, one, is terrible at transitioning consoles. I mean, for the most part, they have three products on the market right now. They have the DS, the 3DS, and the Wii. you know, that transitioned from the DS to the 3DS. The 3DS started off so they dropped it, you know, at a price $80. That has to factor into it as well.
Yeah, they're now losing money on each 3DS sold, yeah. Which is not, it's normal for the industry, but it's not normal for Nintendo.
No, and I think, again, this is why people are kind of, you know, amplifying it. It's like, you know, it's like this huge thing. And the other thing is that, and this is a completely Nintendo, they have 3 products on the market, and they've released 1 game in that entire 3-month period, and that was Star Fox 3DS. There was nothing released on the Wii, and I don't think they had anything on the DS. So yeah, they had 1 product in that 3-month span, so they're not, you know, like any money they're using on the hardware, they're not really compensated with the software because they don't have any new games out. As Jason says, going forward, I mean, the next 3 months, they have 2 Mario games, they have Zelda, they have Kirby, they have, you know, Monster Hunter, they have, you know, no, not Resident Evil.
Yeah, Nintendo will be fine.
They have a ton of games going forward. And this is the same reason I haven't, you know, jumped on the Doom and Gloom bandwagon for 3DS. It has a slow start, but it hasn't gone through a holiday season yet. And I think it's kind of foolhardy to predict any success or failure for any video game system that hasn't gone through a,
holiday season.
Christmas season. Yeah, because it is the biggest time for gaming. This is why we end up with like 50 games coming out every week.
Yeah.
This time
Let's also note that from the numbers from that same financial call, the 3DS is at its current state, like place in its life cycle, is outselling the DS, which, remember, also had a slow start, and nobody's worrying about it now. So,
and the other thing, and you know, and this, you know, people, you know, this community knows the issues, maybe you can see it, but the fact is, even though Nintendo's a Japanese company, they make most of their money in Europe and America, and due to the state of the economy, they also out of money in that, you know, the yen's stronger than the euro or the American dollar. So I think something like 55% of that loss is actually just money they can't that they convert back to their natural currency, and it loses its value.
Yeah, Sony's going through that same issue.
Yeah. Too. I mean, the only one who it wouldn't affect would be Microsoft because, well, I would say it wouldn't affect them, but they don't have a presence in Japan anyhow, so I guess it doesn't really matter for them. So yeah, but you know, like they had their thing. It looks like going forward though, really, and I kind of like this aggressiveness. I mean, they had their investors meeting yesterday. That, you know, going forward, they look like they're improving the 3DS's eShop. You're going to soon be able to buy games on your PC and smartphone.
Yeah, so I think they've shown signs that they're listening, and you know, with this huge loss and with us not having seen the Wii U for a while, I think that could mean some interesting things, but we'll see. It could mean nothing. It is Nintendo, but
I was going to say, it can go either way though, because they could become more conservative and not want to lose money on the Wii U up front.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think what they're recognizing though is they enjoyed a long period of dominance and lots of sales with the Wii and DS, and they've been kind of down, or like at least downward trending. And but they're a smart company, they have smart leadership, and they're gonna do what it takes to get back.
Like I said, they're terrible at transitioning. They did it with the GameCube, where they pretty much had that 2005, 2006 was pretty empty, except for Zelda game, which ended up being a Wii launch title, and it's kind of the same thing here, where I think Zelda, Kirby came out this past week. That would be the third game, I want to say, that they've released on the Wii this year. The 3DS has had, they've released 5 games or so for that, but it's been so staggered, and, you know, 2 of them have been remakes of N64 games. But going forward, you know, they have a bit more steady release coming out. They said that's one of the things they've taken away from the 3DS, is that they want to make sure that the Wii U launch is kind of, you know, goes off without a hitch. So we'll see how that goes. Anything else on the Nintendo side?
I'm actually, you know, as someone who, I'm still very ashamed of myself for this, but I never beat Twilight Princess, I never beat Wind Waker, and I call myself a Zelda fan, I know. But I'm really excited to see how Skyward Sword turns out, because it's amazing that they can consistently, like, make these games, and each one of them, as far as I know, has been really, really enjoyable. I enjoyed Wind Waker, but I'd be lying if I didn't say that the art style eventually started to grate on me, and I know that a lot of people loved it.
Really?
Yes, I know, yeah. A lot of people really liked it, but personally, I was cool with it at first, but eventually I couldn't you know, I couldn't hang with it. I don't know what happened, but I think the water levels just got, like, traversing the ocean just got really fucking boring.
Well, okay, yeah. That, yeah. Well, I'm not sure that's a fault of the visual style as much as just the game design, but.
And well, yeah, they do fix that halfway through the game or whatever when you get the song of the windfish or whatever.
Right, yeah. And I got to that point, but it was, like, too late at that point. For me, I don't know.
Oh, okay. So you didn't even get to the part that most people have issues with when it comes to this game.
Which is what?
Is the Triforce
Hunt. Yeah.
Everybody just goes, eh. But, I mean, yeah, I'm really excited to see how Skyward Sword turns out. Because it looks like, I mean, from what I've seen, it looks like a more Ocarina of Time, Twilight Princess type of game. And, I don't know. Like, that's the kind of Zelda that I grew up with, and that's the kind of Zelda that I really love and really enjoy.
Well, I can tell you from what I've seen and what I've said, this is kind of this is a combination of Wind Waker and Ocarina of Time.
Which might be like the best thing
That's
ever.
That's awesome. Here's why I'm excited is this is the game we've all wanted since the Wii was first announced, or the controller at least.
Like,
Let's be honest, this and a lightsaber game that we're never going to get, I'm assuming at this point, but that's what I want. You know, the motion plus, one-to-one sword fighting. I mean, that adds a whole nother level of depth to an already fantastic formula, so.
I was gonna point out, and it's kind of funny, because that's how two of the reviews I read ends. It's like, this is the game that the Wii has been looking for like the past 6 years.
It is! I don't know why it's taken so- well, okay, we did need Motion Plus, but still.
I was gonna say, that imperfection takes time, I mean.
It might have been Red Steel 2 if it was better, but you know.
Red Steel 2, I really dig Red Steel 2. I think the problem a lot of people have with it is the fact that it does kind of, it's like desert the entire way through. The environment's don't change. The core gameplay, I think, is refreshing for a first-person shooter or first-person game, whatever you want to call it. But yeah. Skyward Sword, I love the art style. Which, you know, it's, you know, like people always say that, you know, having a weaker system does limit you, but it has forced Nintendo to be really creative.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think that some of the most creative stuff I've ever seen comes when the hardware is becoming a limitation. Like if you look at even with like the Xbox now, like Battlefield 3 notwithstanding, I do think that like if you look at Gears 3, if you just look at the Gears of War franchise in general, like or I know that it's not, you know, necessarily the best example like we've seen on maybe like the Nintendo platforms, but if you look at the Gears of War franchise as it's evolved, it's the same hardware, but each game looks almost like exponentially better than the last. And I think that that's really cool because now I think as a hardware, as like, you know, graphics technology advances and hardware more or less stays static, you know, except on PCs. Developers are really finding these new and creative ways of making engines and such more creative. And then again, like with Nintendo products, they're having new and exciting ways of masking those, what's the word I'm looking for? Insuperiority, kind of like those. That's not the right word, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Superiority.
It's just finding a way to basically use a lot more smoke and mirrors to create something that looks fantastic, even though technically it's not exactly very impressive. Does that make much sense? Like,
yeah, this is something that's happened before. I remember this happened at E3 2010, I think, when Game Trailers gave Kirby Epic Yarn best graphic. A lot of people had issues with it because technically it's not a really technically advanced game. Right. And I think this is where you end up with a technical level and an artistic level. And sometimes they're not always equal because, I mean, something like Battlefield is technically impressive, and nobody can deny that.
Yeah, it's very
but
technically
it's not,
impressive.
It's not really
yes,
that
Yes, it
artistically
is.
Special.
Unless you don't install the texture pack.
Oh, no, that was awful. That was like PS2.
Yeah, at least. Maybe worse.
Yeah, I saw the YouTube video that I was comparing the two, and I honestly could not believe. And there's actually, you know, for the first time ever, I saw like a really, really good article on N4G, of all places. It was stating that basically your Xbox 360 is a PC now. And you know what? The more I think about that with the Rage install and with the Battlefield 3 install, it's just kind of reflecting how close we are to a new generation of consoles. Because when stuff like this starts happening, I think that's when we really need to start like upping the hardware.
Yeah. At the same time, the stuff that's happening couldn't have happened on older consoles before, you know.
Right, yeah, no, I agree.
Updates and, like, at least maybe not on the 360's case, like, everyone has a hard drive, but, you know, prevalent hard drive or large storage solutions.
Yeah, I remember that was one of the things with, I think, Jinx the Cat on the original Xbox, is that because every system had a hard drive, they were able to use the hard drive for creative ways, just storing, you know, catching certain information and using that for the gameplay. But because the Xbox ended up splintering that fan base at the beginning, no game has ever actually used it like that. But now you kind of get in this thing where it's like, and especially, you know, like the PS3 on that, for example, kind of forces you to install almost every game you play.
Which is bullshit, by the way. I can't
say that.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, most of my hard drive is installed. They're not tiny install files sometimes. I've had some that's up to like 5 or 6 gigs. So yeah, I mean, it is getting to the point where this generation is getting hung in the tooth, but at the same hand, nobody, as we mentioned with Nintendo, nobody wants to go through the cost of restarting the generation because there's a huge price associated with transitioning to the next generation. So if you want to milk it for its worth and get, you know, get your money's worth, that's what you do. And that's what they're trying to do. I'm kind of curious because I don't know what Microsoft and Sony has set up for next year. We know Halo 4, and that's huge. But other than that, there's like, I mean, I guess Grand Theft Auto 5 now. Even then, that's not exclusive.
I think that we're going to see, as far as like new consoles, I think that we're probably going to see a new Xbox in 2013, if I had to guess. We're going to see it for the first time in late 2012 or early 2013.
Well,
and then it's going to release in 2014.
There was it this week or last week? There was a fresh batch of rumors about that stuff.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
So it was what we've heard before. It's E3 2013 reveal, fall 2013 launch.
Which I think sounds pretty about right.
I think we at least here all expect.
I always expect it 2012, but
it's up for
long? How long is wait, the 360 launched in 2005, right?
Yeah. Yep. So that would be almost 8 years.
It's amazing how much they got out of that thing.
But before that, we do have a system that's launching February 22nd or February 15th if you want to buy these. No, the PlayStation Vita.
Yeah.
The what?
If you want to buy the bundle,
Vita. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you can get the Vita. I think it'll deviate a 4 gigabyte Sony's priority memory card, and you get, I think, the 3G version for $400 a week early. Which I think is an interesting idea.
Isn't there there's a Wi-Fi bundle version only for Canada.
Only for Canada.
So, Chad, wherever you are, you get a perk for once. Be happy.
But, we'll find something else because we beat up on Sony as we get the end as well. But it also came out this week that games that use the memory card on the PlayStation Vita will not start if you do not have a memory card. Which I think is kind of backwards. I understand the logic behind it is if you can't save the game, it makes no sense for you to start the game. But I mean, I'm sure there are games you can kind of pick up and play and you won't need a memory card. You wouldn't need a memory card for, but
here's the thing. Why do you need a memory card for a game that comes on what is essentially a memory card?
That's a good point.
It makes no sense to me. That's supposed to be one of the advantages of a cartridge-based game, is it not?
Yeah, that's the $1 million question. And not only that, but one of the games that are doing it is Uncharted Golden Abyss, which, as most people peg, is the PS Vita's big launch title. And a lot of people, cynically so, are just pointing fingers that it's possibly Sony just trying to, you know, Sony's like, oh, we're going to take a loss on the hardware, so we're going to have to nickel and dime the consumers to make up for it in some other fashion.
Well, I think there is probably some technical reason for this. Like, it would be too taxing to access both memory card slots at the same time. But if they're going to do this, they need to give you a memory card with the system.
That's what a lot of people are saying, and they aren't. And not only are they not giving you one, it's not a standard memory unit, so you have to buy Sony's version. It's not like you can go to a store and pick up an SD card. And right now, the prices are kind of...
But Sony doesn't like hype.
It's really weird how much they've... It's like, and again, the $250 price point they announced at E3 looked awesome at the time. Same price as the 3DS on a technical level, it's a better system. And, you know, then Nintendo, you know, dropped the price $80. And then every week since then, it's kind of been like, oh, yeah, then you're going to have to pay for this. and then there's this, and then there's not this here, and then
like, hidden fee here, activation there.
Yeah, and, you know, because it's still, I don't know if they haven't announced it for the States yet. Like, in Japan, you still need a 3G plan for the 3G model. I've heard it has no flash support. It's not going to be able to play like, PlayStation 1 archive games, I guess, outside of launch.
So, oh, really? I didn't even hear that. That makes no sense.
And the other thing, and this is what an issue I have with the memory unit in general, is that, and this is, as we mentioned with the Xbox, is that you spin to your fan base, and you get to the point where your downloadable store won't have the momentum it needs because not everybody will have access to it, because not everybody has a place to store those games.
Yeah. I mean, really, there should have just been some kind of onboard memory.
Yeah, it's very difficult to say how much because, you know, like, those downloadable games can take up a lot of
something, you know,
and patches and stuff like that. So, you know, like stuff like, you know, one of the things people are really excited about and one of the things people, you know, is like Call of Duty on the Vita. But then you have to think about it. It's like, then you have to buy a $50 memory card to get map packs and patches and stuff like that. And then it's like, oh yeah, you know, do I want to pay $250 for this handheld, $40 for this game, then $50 for a memory card when I already have a PS3 or a 360? So, I mean, we shall see going forward how it works out, but as of right now, it's like Sony's kind of like, if I was Sony, I would have announced a lot of this stuff at E3 and then named the price and like, oh, you know what? It's a fair price for, you know, this. But now it's like, here's the price and here's all this hidden fees you have to get associated with it.
Hey, I have a question for you, Earl. This is going to be a little bit unrelated, but I'm way too curious. So, with the, like, what is Nova like in the comics? Do you know anything about Nova?
You weren't kidding when you said that was unrelated.
Well, no, I mean, like, I'm when I think PS Vita, I think Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. When I think Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, I think with the recent Phoenix Wright Nova reveal. So there's a logical thought process behind it, but.
That's a good thought process. I would say it's kind of weird that you think of PS Vita when you think of Ultimate Marvel.
Yeah, because they're putting UMVC 3 on the Vita, which is the only reason I would buy the, oh, and like Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Those are the only two reasons.
Well,
Uncharted, but. I don't know.
I was going to point out the fact that Ultimate, I mean, it's out this November. It's out in 2 weeks.
Right.
It?
No, it's, oh my God. Hang on. Oh my God. No, it's in.
It's the 15th.
Yeah, 2.5 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of fighting games. Was what? That the
week? What?
The Soul Calibur 4 finally revealed release date?
Oh, yeah. I think it comes out.
I mean, five, sorry.
December, five. Right? Yeah.
It's, So they finally revealed Ezio for sure in it, and more importantly, January 31st release date.
Oh, jeez.
So I was expecting July, and I'm a huge Soul Calibur nut, so.
Are you really?
My pants are wet.
I've since changed my pants.
But yeah, back to your question, but more, I'm trying to think why would, because you have a 360. The game's out in 2 weeks. The PS Vita is not out for 4 months.
Well, think of it this way. It's basically like mobile, it's like mobile combo yes. practice, mobile, like, you know, like experimentation and stuff like that. It's just, it's like the same reason that, oh, you know what I really think would be awesome, actually, now that I think about it, if they have that, what's that, that save state thing that they have where you can basically, it's like the cloud, the PlayStation cloud or whatever.
Transfer in for if you're Konami.
They need to call it they need to really call it like PlayStation Cloud or Sony Cloud or something because that would be perfect. But like that idea where you can like take a game that's on a console and then take it on the go from that exact same state, that is fucking amazing to me.
That should have happened with the PSP one. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, that's a great idea.
But that's what I'm kind of curious about because it was something. I mean, not so much the cloud, but there was, you know, like remote play and stuff like that. That was, you know, supposed to happen with the PSP and the PS3, and it never really panned out. And this goes back to, like, sometimes companies, you know, set up devices, and then they don't support it. And it's not just Sony. I mean, you've got Nintendo, like, the Wii Balance Board and the Wii Motion Plus. Microsoft and Kinect's, like, a once-a-year device for them now. Sony and Move, Sony and, you know, so...
Oh,
yeah. What? Okay, but yeah,
I it's funny that you mentioned this because it's funny that you bring up the Kinect because my birthday is actually next Wednesday and I picked up my big 42-inch TV and now that I have an appropriately sized TV, I was thinking, I was like, Dance Central 2 looks pretty awesome. Like, I'm not gonna lie.
I was joking when I said that Dance Central 2 is a big release this week, but it does look good, so.
I wouldn't be surprised
if it looks really good.
I wouldn't be surprised if Dance Central outsells Battle, but, actually, I wouldn't be surprised if Just Dance sold out so bad.
It will. Just Dance will definitely. Not sure about Dance Central.
Well,
the Kinect install base is pretty big.
Yeah, but it's,
yeah, but
it's
still one platform.
It's
Just Dance is three.
And one of those
is the Wii.
Yeah.
still people like their Wiis, even if we don't.
Yeah, I mean, Just Dance 2 Just Dance 2, I think, is the best selling game of the year so far.
Oh my fucking god.
More than Black Ops?
Of the year, I think Black Ops might have fallen off, I'm not sure. Nintendo, cause, you know, Nintendo comes out with these things and they have like the top 20 games for each, region. And I think I know the top three is like Just Dance, it's Gears of War 3, and it's
FIFA 12.
I mean, that's in Europe.
No, it's, well.
FIFA 12 is a pretty worldwide phenomenon, actually.
FIFA 12 broke the record that Gears of War 3 had set like 2 weeks before.
That was a fighting game. Fastest selling sports game.
I'll
play FIFA 12 right now. It's very good.
Oh no, I played a demo and it was really cool, but I still blows my mind.
Worldwide, but the other thing is Americans started picking up on it once we kind of hit, you know, we had that World Cup run and people are excited about it.
And it's just a good game. And here's another thing too. Our main sport is football. Madden sucks. It's a horrible video game. FIFA 12, awesome. Well, it still sells because people just want to play. They have no other choice. But as a game, it's bad.
How do you?
As a representation of American football, it's horrible. It's disgusting. As a huge football fan, I just detest that game so much.
That's why I like FIFA.
It has issues that have existed in the franchise for a decade. That's unacceptable.
Yep.
Okay. So, the top games of this year from January to September are Just Dance 2, Pokemon White, Gears of War 3, Pokemon Black, racist. Call of Duty Black Ops is 5, Zomba Fitness Join the Party is 6, Madden 7, Call of Duty Black Ops, that's what they do, they spin it up. So I assume if you combine the two Call of Duties, it'll probably be number 1. They also spit up Madden. So there you go. But yeah, I was asking, what are your thoughts on PES?
Are you asking me or Adrian?
I don't think Adrian plays soccer games.
No, I played soccer for 15 years of my life.
I end up with so many soccer fans on this show?
Because it's the most beautiful
people.
Game. It's
We're
the
worldly
game.
People.
Maybe it's something to do with the West United States.
I don't know, but it's a beautiful game. FIFA 12, I've never played PES. I have no interest to play PES, but I from what I understand, like FIFA 12, like I played the demo, was really impressed by just how representative it is actually of like playing defense in real soccer, which was actually a pretty big improvement for me because before it's just hold A and run at the fucking dude who has the ball and then hope for the best. So now it's a lot more thinking involved. So I'm happy that they actually, that's the thing about FIFA versus Madden and other sports games is it actually represents soccer.
Exactly. Like, and that's why I can't play Madden anymore because of FIFA. FIFA's so good and Madden's not. But going back to PES.
PES.
Okay.
Makes you think of the candy.
Pessimistic.
Yeah. PES. Oh, I like that. Well, everyone used to love PES because that was back when FIFA sucked. And then EA kind of got their shit together and started making a good soccer game that plays, basically PES is really arcadey and FIFA is realistic and that's the difference. And once FIFA started taking it like self seriously, there's really no going back to PES anymore.
I agree.
If you really like that super arcadey like type of soccer, like that's fine. But if you want to play like soccer that actually plays like real soccer, then or football for Daniel. FIFA.
I do like the super arcadey, which is why I'm a huge fan of Mario Soccer. But that's a completely different arcadey style.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is, like, if I want an arcadey, I would go all the way and go Mario Strikers. Like, PES is on a weird place where it's, like, it's sort of realistic, but it's sort of not. And it's, I mean, I'm sure lots of people like it. I'm not one of them.
I've heard a lot of people actually will be legitimately, like, really into it. Like, pessimistic.
So, anything else you two want to do before we wrap?
What happened to our British correspondent?
He stepped out. He had a TF2 tournament to attend to.
I was wondering.
So yes. Next week we'll be back with more. Actually, next week we have an interview with somebody from the BioShock studio.
Really?
Wow. Really?
It's like a graphic artist or something, but yeah, we have that.
That's awesome. Which one? From Irrational, you mean?
Sure, whichever one's doing
Wow. Can I be there for that?
So me and Adrian are here next week for sure.
I was going to do it this week, but I figured with Battlefield, I didn't want that to be overshadowed. And lucky enough, we got Uncharted out of the way as well. I mean, I'll be back with conclusions of my impressions after I best the game. I don't know, you two are having so much problems with multiplayer. I assume your reviews for Battlefield won't be up this week.
I've been able to play a decent amount in the last night really, I guess. But we'll see. We'll see how it holds up over the weekend.
Okay. For Daniel stepped out early, Jason, Adrian, and myself, this has been Dual World in episode 49.
Elena, don't do this. Elena!